Hi everyone. If you don't know me, my name's Mark, and I'm on the staff here at St Matthew's, and I'm going to be preaching for us today. Now, I don't know if you're anything like me, but I can be fairly certain that you, like me, have found lockdown restrictive. There's so many rules we have to follow. At the start it was stay home and don't go outdoors unless you really have to. Now there's a bit more freedom, we can go out and see up to six people, which is great. But even with this bit of freedom, we've got to follow all these rules. There's so many of them. And this freedom isn't even for everyone. If you're still shielding, then you may well still have to stay at home as well. I saw my brother on Wednesday, which was great to be able to get to see him. We drove over and saw him. And as he got out of his van, my natural instinct was to run up to him and give him a hug. So I was making my way up to him, going to give him a hug, and I remembered, just at the last moment, got to stay 2 meters away. I'm not allowed to touch him. And then later we went to go get fish and chips. I was the only one allowed in the shop, only one person at a time. We got fish and chips and went and found two separate benches. I put his down on his bench and then went and sat on mine, then he could go and get his. Aren't these rules tiresome? Like, I know they're for our good, but there's so many and they box us in. There are pages and pages of rules. I went to the gov.uk website and looked for some of the coronavirus guidance. You'll see it on the screen at the moment. Under one of these subsections of guidance, the top one called Protect Yourself and Others, there were over 100 pages of size 11 font. There are over 39,000 words. If I was going to read these bits of guidance out to you, just from this top section, it would take about 4.5 hours. We're all hemmed in by rules at the moment. But today, in the section of Luke that we're going to be looking at, Jesus gives us a reason that we can rejoice in freedom, despite the fact we're in lockdown at the moment. Luke shows us how we can have reasons to praise God for the freedom we have in Jesus at the moment.
So that's Luke chapter 13, and we're going to start at verse 10. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leaders said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what has bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing.
We're going to be looking at that passage of Luke that we just had read now, so do keep your Bibles open and you'll be able to follow along. We're going to be looking at verses 10 to 13 first, and there we'll see that Jesus brings freedom from sickness and Satan. Jesus brings freedom from sickness and Satan. That's what we see visibly demonstrated as Jesus heals this woman who's had an infirmity for 18 years. She's been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. Now that phrase, crippled by a spirit, is a Hebrew idiom. It's a Jewish phrase for talking about illness. So it could be that this is just a natural physical illness this woman has. Or it could be, as it first sounds, actually an injury from an evil spirit. When Jesus heals this woman, it doesn't sound like he's casting out a demon. But however this injury came about, the important thing to note is if you just have just a quick glance down at verse 16, you'll see what Jesus thinks of it. This is the work of Satan. This is the work of Satan. This woman was bent over and couldn't straighten up at all. Perhaps you know someone who has a problem like that. Or perhaps you've seen someone who has a problem like that. If you've not known someone like this, then here's a picture of a man who suffers from a disease called ankylosing spondylitis. This man is 20 years old, and ankylosing spondylitis is a chronic inflammatory disease which can affect the spine. Now, his spine has fused completely all the way down his back. He can still move his neck, but he has to use a stick when he walks. And as he walks, he uses his other hand on his thigh to support his body. Now, imagine living in a condition like that for 18 years. 18 years. That is how long this woman has been living with this condition. She hasn't been able to straighten up for 18 years. I mean, that's awful. But then here comes Jesus, the one who brings freedom from sickness and Satan. And look what he did. Look at verse 12 with me. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Immediately. All it took was his words and his hands, and this woman's infirmity of 18 years was gone. It was over. She was set free. Now, the man I showed you before underwent complex surgery to treat his condition. You can see his before and after x-rays here. 14 hours of complex surgery under anaesthetic with bone grafts and metal frames and screws. The hands of a whole team of surgeons working together, and this is what the result was. He was upright, freed from his infirmity and able to walk without having to be bent over and looking down. How amazing is that? The wonders of modern medicine. But how much more amazing is what Jesus did? Instantly, at the sound of his voice, at the touch of his hands, this woman is healed. Such power and such compassion. In an instant, Jesus does what a whole team of surgeons with 14 hours couldn't do. Without any anaesthetic or metal screws, this woman is made well. She is free from her sickness and the power of Satan. This is what Jesus' mission is, to free people from the work of Satan, to save them. Now, I'm not just making that up. If you make a statement confidently and boldly, people might just believe you. But this is what Luke tells us Jesus says his mission is. Because, you see, this passage here isn't the first time that Jesus has been to a synagogue on the Sabbath. In fact, in Luke's Gospel, it's not even the second or the third time. This is the fourth and final time in Luke's Gospel that Jesus is in a synagogue on the Sabbath. And the first time is back in chapter 4, right at the start of Jesus' ministry. And Jesus stands up and he sets out his mission statement for his ministry. He says this, quoting from Isaiah. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." And then guess what Jesus does on his second and his third visits to synagogues on the Sabbath? He carries out his mission. On the second visit to the synagogue on the Sabbath, Jesus casts out a demon from a possessed man. On his third visit to a synagogue on the Sabbath, Jesus heals a man with a shriveled hand. And now this fourth and final time in Luke's Gospel that Jesus visits a synagogue on the Sabbath, Jesus sets this woman free. As Jesus heals this woman, he is carrying out his mission. Because Jesus' mission isn't just healing. It's not just meeting the physical needs of people. But rather it's bringing freedom. Freedom from the work of Satan. Freedom from captivity and slavery. From the burden of sickness and the captivity of sin. This is why we can rejoice in freedom, even in the midst of lockdown. Because if you're a Christian, then Jesus has set you free. He has set you free from the work of Satan, because at the cross, the power of Satan was broken. He was defeated. Now, we may live at the moment with great piles of laws hemming us in, keeping us in our homes, even regulating the little bits of freedom we do have. But we are free from the law of sin and death. So we should respond like this woman does. Look down at verse 13 again with me. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Immediately she praises God. Her freedom and her praise come together. It's like straightened praise. We've been given an even greater freedom than this woman has. So we should praise God. That's what we're going to do now. We're going to sing a song. We're going to hear Man of Sorrows played to us. And it speaks of Jesus setting us free. It says these words. It says, "Whom the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed." And we have this response as well. "Now my soul cries out, hallelujah," which means praise God. I love that line, "Whom the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed." It's true for the woman in this passage, and it can be true for us today as well. Now, we've already seen Jesus fulfilling his mission to set people free. But now, as we look at verse 14 to 17, we'll see the flip side of this. Because Jesus brings freedom from sickness and Satan, but man-made religion brings laws that bind you. Man-made religion brings laws that bind you. And we see the truth of that in the words of the synagogue leader in this story. See, Jesus has just performed this amazing miracle, which surely could only come from God. And then look at the attitude of the synagogue leader. Look down at verse 14 with me. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. Indignant. He was annoyed. The Son of God had just performed a miracle in front of his eyes, and he's irked by it. Why is he annoyed? Well, it's because it's the Sabbath, and the synagogue leader is following a man-made set of rules all about the Sabbath. Which means what he thinks about what Jesus has done is that it is wrong. He doesn't understand what the Sabbath is truly about, because he lives with these layers of man-made rules stacked up on top of what God has revealed to his people. The synagogue leader treats the Sabbath as a bit of religious bureaucracy. It's a box-ticking exercise to him. Oh, no, you shouldn't be doing that. No healing on the Sabbath. But let's see what Jesus thinks of this attitude, this man-made religiosity. Look at verse 15 with me. Jesus does not mince his words. "The Lord answered him, 'You hypocrites. Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, the daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?'" Hypocrisy. That's what he thinks of this man's box ticking. Because the synagogue leader understands it's right to set an animal free on the Sabbath to drink water. But he doesn't understand that it's right to set a daughter of Abraham, one of God's own people, free on that same day. This man here is an example of fruitless religion that will be judged by God. Do you remember that parable from verses 6 and 7? If you were here last week, you'll have heard about it. It's about a tree that didn't bear fruit. It had one last chance to bear fruit, or it would be cut down. This is an example of the sort of fruitless religion that God is going to chop down, that God is going to judge. Because as this leader wants to deny people freedom on the Sabbath, he's boxing them in with rules, just like an animal being chained up and being kept from having a drink of water. This is what legalism and man-made religion do to people. They bring in laws and bind you. They box you in like an ox kept in a stall. But being a Christian isn't about following rules. It isn't an exercise of box ticking. It's about being set free by Jesus. We read earlier that God gave instructions for what the Sabbath was meant to be back in Deuteronomy. We heard that from Deuteronomy chapter 5. And we heard why God gave the Sabbath. Let me read a little bit of it out for you. He told them to not do any work so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. There are three reasons why Israel should observe the Sabbath. Firstly, well, simply because God told them to. It's a command. The second, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. It is for rest. After the pattern that God set up in creation, 6 days of work and one day of rest for their refreshment. And third, it's to remember God's salvation. See that in the Deuteronomy passage. Remember that you were slaves and the Lord brought you out. Therefore, observe the Sabbath, because God has freed his people from slavery. The synagogue leader does not get this. He completely misunderstands the Sabbath. He thinks box-ticking exercise, and so piles on rule after rule after rule to make sure he ticks those boxes just right. But Jesus brings the fulfillment of the Sabbath. What he does on the Sabbath is exactly what should be done on the Sabbath. He sets this woman free. He frees this woman from bondage, from the slavery of Satan, just like God freed his people from slavery in Egypt. Instead of being an ox that's chained up, Christians are like an ox that is set free. So we should rejoice and celebrate that. Like cows come out to pasture for the first time after being cooped up inside all winter, they jump for joy. It's a very different picture to an ox chained up. It's so much better to be free. And yet sometimes we prefer the chains. We all have a tendency to be like the synagogue leader, thinking that our goodness, our rule-keeping, can make God think we're good. It can be hard to see sometimes, but it is reflected in the way we think and the way we act in our lives. Like, for instance, if we fall into sin and then think God can't possibly forgive us, that's because we're too reliant on our rule-keeping. Or if we see other people messing up and we think, I'm better than them. Again, we're judging ourselves on a scale of rule keeping. We can all do this, even little ways. I know I certainly can. Just last week, Rosie and I went to Grantchester Meadows for a picnic. And whilst we were down there, we saw a whole crowd of people. I mean, there were definitely more than six people from more than one household, and they were definitely closer than 2 metres. And I found myself looking down at them and, you know, tutting in my mind. I didn't say anything out loud. Obviously, I'm far too British for that. But I was thinking I'm better than you. And that sort of thinking is really dangerous. It leads to hypocrisy. It makes us think that we can prove ourselves by keeping rules, when in reality, we're just as guilty as everyone else. And what we need isn't more rules to keep. We need to be set free. Look at the end of the passage with me in verse 17. When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. There's two groups of people. Jesus' opponents, who love their rule keeping, they're on the side of the synagogue leader. And then there's the people who delight in what Jesus is doing. The people who try to prove themselves good by measuring up to rules, they're humiliated. But those who trust in Jesus, those who see what he's doing is good, are delighted. Which do you want? Humiliation or delight? Surely it's an easy choice. If you're not a Christian, be warned. You can't prove yourself to be good enough for God by what you do. No matter how many rules you keep. But also, know this, there's an offer of delight. Jesus offers freedom. He offers an eternity with him. Will you accept that offer? If you are already a Christian, rejoice. Jesus has set you free. And you can look forward to the eternal fulfillment of the Sabbath. Eternal rest with God in his new creation. Rejoice. We are free from the burden of duty, of trying to prove ourselves. We are free from the bonds of sin. We are free from the bonds of death. We're guaranteed rest with God. So you, like the people in the story, rejoice, delight, be delighted with the wonderful things Jesus has done for us. Lockdown is tough. It's hard to be boxed in by all these rules. But the truth is, if you're a Christian, then you are free, and there is nothing that can take that away from you. Praise God.